There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Steph is well and truly back in the hot seat right here in the studio. It's great to have her back. She's been well missed. Mind you, we did have a good Christmas and New Year, didn't we?
We did,
you know,
yeah.
And we did kind of give her a shout out and said, hope you have a great Christmas and stuff.
That's nice.
All the time.
I totally forgot you existed at times. You'd pop up on Facebook and I'd go, familiar, but...
Familiar face.
Who are they again?
Yeah, Mark actually asked me, have you heard from Steph? I haven't heard anything. And I said, yeah, she sent me a message on Instagram, but that was it.
Yeah.
I didn't have Wi-Fi most of the time. It was brilliant. I loved it.
So what did you learn then on your travels then, Steph?
Travelling, it's about learning along the way, I find.
Yeah.
And then sharing the wins and the pitfalls with other people so they can enjoy the things that you've had a good time doing. And maybe avoid the mishaps that you've made, because there are always mishaps. And I can't believe that as much as I travel, there's always stuff that goes wrong still. How is that possible? You know me, I plan to like the nth detail. I've got an Excel spreadsheet.
Maybe you overplan.
Do you think it could be that?
Do you think you can overplan? You know, just overdo it a little bit, and there's that much planning and that much to remember that it all goes wrong.
I feel you plan what you have to do, what you have to eat, where you have to go, but you don't really plan the logistics really well.
Yeah, you might be right with that, actually. Well, I've got some lessons that I'm going to share over the next few days that I learned from the holiday that I just got back from at 6 a.m. this morning.
Oh, yeah, that's when you got back?
Yeah.
6
a.m. It's when the plane landed this morning.
Right.
And I thought of you, Mark. I thought he could never do that.
Yeah, I thought there was a message. I thought there was a message on my messenger very early. And I thought, you know, well, I did sleep a bit early last night. I wonder what time that came. And then I checked the time. Oh, yeah. I thought you'd flown in.
Isn't that amazing, though? Land at 6 a.m., into work.
Yeah, aren't we such different travellers? I just couldn't do that. I could not do that.
I think it helps with jet lag, like just to get back into the normal routine straight away.
I agree. Otherwise, you're just sleeping. You don't know what time of the day it is. I've done that.
I'm two or 3 days to reacclimatise. I mean, this is why I get in trouble with you, Shruti, as well. I come down to... She said, it's only 1:53 and you're going down to the studio. I said, what's wrong with that? I like to acclimatise myself. And it's same on the holidays as well, coming back.
You like to acclimatise yourself to a different floor in the building.
Yeah, get used to different things when I come back.
It is colder down here. The aircon's on down here a bit cooler than upstairs. So I just went from Dubai to Sri Lanka for a couple of days. Then I went Sri Lanka to Melbourne for 2 weeks, then back to Sri Lanka for 36 hours and then back to Dubai this morning. And some of the lessons that I learned today, I'll do 4 today, 4 tomorrow and 4 the next day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The first one is, there are incredible flight deals to be had if you look at any time of year. So I left the flight planning and booking till the last minute, November.
Okay.
For Christmas. Yeah. And I was leaving on the 14th of December. And I'm like, oh, Australia's a long way. That's going to be expensive now. Yeah. Not many seats left. So I spent the whole day, like literally scouring websites, going through what Emirates got, what have this airline got, what have Etihad got. And I found a business class flight going from Colombo to Melbourne, return. So you got to get to Colombo, but I mean, that's cheapest fly Dubai.
Yeah.
And I found it for 10,000 dirhams each at Christmas, which I didn't think was too bad.
So that's return flights from Colombo to Melbourne and back to Colombo.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is a long way. It's 14 hours. 14 hours of flying in business class.
Oh, in business?
In business.
In business,
I was going to say, it's a bit much for, you know. Oh, business class. Cool.
Yeah.
That's really good.
And the economy flights going from Dubai were 8,000 to Melbourne and back in economy.
Oh, wow.
Like, that is a no-brainer. At that time of year, it's expensive, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, I wonder if this is just a deal that I managed to get, like, off the cuff. It was Christmas. They didn't realise they'd done this mistake online. So I looked this morning to have a little look at how much it would cost to go Colombo-Melbourne return in business class. 7,848 dirhams.
God, you should have postponed your holiday and gone in January.
I know, right? That would have saved me about $5,000 there if I'd done that.
Yeah.
But isn't that an incredible price?
Yeah.
Like, that blows my socks off when I find stuff like that.
Yeah, so you just got to get to Colombo and you've got that incredible price.
But then you get to add on a little bit of extra holiday. And the best thing about this was when I flew back in on Thursday morning to Abu Dhabi. Because the flight, this is the kicker, guys. The flight that you're taking from Colombo goes via Abu Dhabi. So I could have got on an hour up the road. But if I had, because I looked at that price too, it would have been double the price.
Oh, on the
same aeroplane.
That's unbelievable. So way actually get on and get off makes a big difference.
A massive difference. So on the way back, I had a 16-hour layover in Abu Dhabi. So I said to the guy at the airport, checking in Melbourne, I'm like, can I get my cases off in Abu Dhabi? And he's like, sure. Yeah, if you need your stuff, if you need your toothbrush and things, you can get them off. So I got the cases off. I came back to Dubai, did the washing from a 3-week holiday.
Oh, no.
Then packed a rucksack, got back up to Abu Dhabi that night, got on my little flight to Colombo, and it was like a whole new holiday. Isn't that amazing?
I'm not so sure I would drive back to do the laundry when you're supposed to be officially on holiday.
No, it was great. It was a great feeling. I put the dry cleaning in this morning when I got home, ready.
Well, you're getting more organised. I mean, this isn't the stuff that we know and love, is it, Sir Shruti?
It's not at all.
A bit of a change. All right, so that's interesting. That I didn't know from where you got on to where you get off that it can make such a huge difference in price.
Well, you might not be as surprised at number two. The second thing that I learned on this holiday was always ask Google if you need a visa to travel to the country that you're going to.
Right.
So I was at Colombo Airport and we're checking in for my business class flight to Melbourne. I'm very excited. I'm seeing a Simon. This is part of the holiday, this.
Yeah.
This is one of the things I'm most excited about. Lying down for 13 hours watching telly. This is going to be incredible. Like, he's never flown business.
Aww.
I'm so excited to see his little face when he sees how big the bed is. Oh, it was amazing. Anyway, we get to the check-in desk and the girl goes, do you have a visa? I'm like, I'm British. She's like, yes, but do you have a visa to go to Australia? I'm like, no, I don't think you understand. I'm white and I'm British. She's like, well, congratulations, but I think you're still going to need a visa to get into Australia. And then I was like, but I've married one as well. Mm. This guy is Australian. Like, we're going together. I've been a million times. I don't think I've ever got a visa before. You need a visa. They can't even check me in on the flight without a visa.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine panic stations?
Uh-huh.
Not really.
It's 2 days before Christmas.
I'd be on the floor by now.
So they are panicking me slightly, but I'm a business class customer. And I know they're going to do their best to try and help me because of that. So they send me up to the lounge and they're like, right, all you need to do is apply online and I'm sure it'll come through. So I apply online, send it through and I get a ping back and it says, your visa will be done in 10 days.
Oh.
So I'm crying at this point going, I'm going to miss Christmas. I'm going to be in Sri Lanka alone. I'm going to miss the flight, which I was so looking forward to. Anyway, then desperation kicks in. So I'm online looking for anything I can. They've rang border control and everything. They've done it all. And the guy's like, nothing I can do to help. I'm very sorry, ma'am. There's nothing I can do. I don't know why he's American.
An Australian-American.
Southern American.
Anyway, I get onto iVisa.com, which I just found on Google, like fast visas to any country. And all of my friends on my WhatsApp group who are loving this are going, yeah, that's a scam. Don't even do it. Don't waste your money. $70 to get a visa in 15 minutes for any country. Would you do it?
In your situation, stood at the airport with a possibility of 10 days missing Christmas, yeah, I probably would.
Well, I did it, and you won't believe it. It worked.
Did you?
It worked. I was on a chat window with them all the way through. They're like, hey, Steph, thanks for your business today. We'll get that done for you right now. And then, Steph, it's just processing. Just hang there. Just wait. Don't worry. Through.
Amazing.
I could not believe it. So I've kept that. iVisa.com. Incredible. They do Russia. They do India. Like, they do all of the ones that are a nightmare. So, I mean, what is it about getting into countries? Like, is it just that you need $70 in your bank account? Because that makes you wonder, doesn't it?
That is fantastic. So, suddenly from desperation, a smile back on your face.
Smile back on my face. But I have learned from now on, I'm going to check if I need a visa.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
To go places.
Yeah.
The Ticket on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Right then, Steph, lessons that you learnt on holiday. We're absolutely gripped by this. In fact, we're getting messages from listeners saying, please, can you extend these lessons that Steph learnt on holiday?
I've got stacks more to get through because unfortunately there were quite a few pitfalls. I went to Melbourne, I went to Adelaide, I went on a houseboat along the Murray River in Western Australia, and I also went to Sri Lanka for a few days as well on this holiday. So the next lesson that I learnt when I went to Melbourne, friends of ours who used to live in Dubai who left to have children, they said, you've got to come and stay with us. It'll be amazing. Haven't seen you for ages. We've got a big house now. This will be great.
Yeah.
So trying to pinch the pennies, we were like, yeah, okay, we'll come and stay with you. Forgetting really that they've got a 2.5-year-old and a new baby.
Right.
Now, what I learned when I went to stay with them is that the parents of small children do not put locks on bathroom doors. And I learned it in the most horrific way possible. So I'm in the shower one morning, just happily washing away as you do, when suddenly a 2.5-year-old bloke walks in and looks into the shower. And I got the shock of my life. And I'm like, whoa. Now, in any other situation when someone walks in on you and you get the shock and you go, whoa, they would look away or leave, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, but maybe this one was too young to understand.
Just stood there looking. It was the most terrifying experience of my life. Anyway, I got out of the shower and I said to my friend Marlo, I said, so this happened, and I'm just wondering if there's a way we can sort of lock the door. Maybe you can lock him somewhere whilst I'm in the shower. And she said to me, she said, isn't that the real beauty of it? The innocence. And I said, no.
No.
Not unless they're yours. To me, it's just a little guy looking at me in the shower.
And was the friendship between you and this couple a different dynamic this time around then because they've had two children along the way?
No. I don't think it was a different dynamic. We had to find babysitters and stuff. Yeah. And we had to do things that the kids demanded, which was weird. I never understood that. There's a whole positive parenting thing going on at the moment where I learnt that in the past, you'd have a kid who would say, mummy, 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 mummy. And they'd be doing that annoying thing when you're trying to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And the parents in the olden days used to go, not now, I'm talking. These days, the kids go, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. And the mum turns around and says, thank you for using your manners. Yes? I find a lot of it really bizarre. I don't understand. So that was my third lesson. They don't have bathroom locks when they've got kids.
Okay, so you're telling people, think twice before you go and stop with somebody that's perhaps got kids that you've never met before.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Right.
Or the kids that want to walk in and watch you in the shower.
Okay.
The fourth thing I learned on my holiday is that the Christmas budget has risen over the years because I stayed in Western Australia at my husband's folks' house and his sister and their two kids came along for Christmas. So on Christmas Eve, we were all helping. Now, I don't know why Santa had not wrapped the presents as well, but we had to help on Christmas Eve wrap all the presents. And I couldn't believe it because about 30 years ago when I was getting Christmas presents, you'd get one big thing and then you'd maybe get a couple of small things.
Right.
It seems like the whole world has got less money pretty much now because everything costs more. Mm. But Santa's budget's bigger.
Yeah.
Because these kids had like 40 presents each.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. Is that normal?
Is that including a big one as well?
Yeah.
Yeah? So a big
yep,
present
and, a big one.
And another 39?
Yeah.
Well, that's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can I come down there for Christmas next year?
I'm just worried about who's doing Santa Claus's books and I would hate to see Santa files for bankruptcy in the headlines this year because I think it's coming.
Yeah, it's the reindeers. I feel sorry for dragging all them around.
Yeah.
You know, imagine, put 40 presents on your sleigh.
It's a lot more pressure for them, isn't it?
It is, a lot of pressure.
Working conditions for reindeers. We'll look into that. The next lesson that I learned on my holiday, after the craziness of Christmas with kids, we escaped for a couple of nights to one of the most beautiful places that I've ever been to. And this is an off-the-beaten-track kind of destination that I wanted to tell you about because I think you would absolutely love it.
Okay.
And now that we've found out we've got cheap business-class flights to Australia from Colombo, 7,500 dirhams in March return. I thought you could go and you could experience this. It's amazing. It's called Kangaroo Island.
Mm. Okay. Well, it's aptly named, isn't it? Presumably, it's absolutely full of kangaroos.
It's full of kangaroos.
Is it really?
Everywhere.
Are they hanging out in the burger joints and stuff?
No. There aren't many burger joints.
Okay.
Few and far between restaurant-wise. Over a third of it is protected nature reserves. It's only 4,000 square metres. Square kilometres, sorry. But it's got beaches, forests, sand dunes and wildlife galore. You can catch a ferry there from the mainland just outside of Adelaide.
Yeah.
And it'll take you 45 minutes to get across there. But a lot of people that I spoke to who live in Australia have been once as a child and not really been back. Mm, okay. If it was on my doorstep, I'd go all the time. But we went camping. We ran into goannas, which are like land monitor lizards, like huge lizards crossing the road. Massive.
Didn't come in the tent then?
No, but you generally see them on the road crossing over.
Yeah.
And if you stop and get out, they're really slow. Mm. So you can get right up to them and have a look. And what else did we see? We saw kangaroos, wallabies, which are the little kangaroos. We saw seals. One night, we were at a secluded beach, just parked the car, walked through some dense bushland, got to this little beach, and the sun's going down. And in the water, we were like, what's that? Like, right up by the shore. And it was stingrays, loads of them. And we just walked in on our own, and they just went around our feet. Like, it was an unbelievable experience.
Aren't they dangerous?
No. Only if you're hovering above them, trying to poke them, and they get you in the heart.
Oh.
That's the only way they're dangerous. They're very nice, generally, I think, stingrays, aren't they?
Yeah, I think they're quite placid. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, quite placid creatures.
But there's allegedly 60,000 koalas on Kangaroo Island.
But
I still haven't seen one.
You didn't see one?
Still haven't seen one.
I mean, do you know what a koala looks like? Maybe you're looking at them and you're not realising it's a koala. You're thinking it's a joey or something else.
No, I would definitely know if it was a koala. I thought I saw one in a tree once. We had parked, walked all the way back and couldn't find it again.
Aren't you meant to look for eucalyptus trees? Because that's where they hang out, right?
That's where I was. In tons of eucalyptus trees, in the place where they're meant to live, Not one single koala.
Maybe they weren't hungry that day.
Maybe. But it was on Kangaroo Island that I learned a very important lesson. I learned that wherever you grow up, wherever you live now, one day you might need a bushfire plan. Do you have one?
No.
You have one, Shruti?
No, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, right? So we get off the ferry and we're in our hire car and we set off and it's all very exciting adventure. We're camping. So there's signs suddenly everywhere when we got off the ferry saying high risk of fire today. So you weren't allowed to have any campfires. That was a no-go. But then it said, be prepared to activate your bushfire plan. Now, can you imagine being on an island where it says this?
I ain't got a plan.
And you realise you don't have a plan. And you turn to the person you're with and you're like, have you got a plan? Nope. What do you do? What's the plan?
Yeah. What's the plan, man?
What's the plan? I didn't have a plan.
Jump in the water because you're on an island?
Yeah, but often you will be on a road that for an hour will go through forests.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty scary then if bushfires start.
So you need a bushfire plan no matter where you live, no matter what you do. And one day you'll be somewhere and it will say you need your bushfire plan.
Mm. Right.
And that's my lessons for today. I've got more, but I think we'll have to crack on with them tomorrow.
Yeah, that was absolutely fascinating. I love the Kangaroo Island stuff, Steph.
You'd love it.
Yeah.
The Ticket on Dubai Eye 103.8.
People are getting used to this next little bit because, I mean, they're enamoured by these lessons that you've learnt, Steph, on your holidays.
I think enamoured is a little bit strong. A couple of people have texted and said they're all right. Are you ready for some more lessons?
I'm really ready. Any wallabies today? Or
No wallabies.
No livestock. Okay.
Or wannabes, as apparently they're called, because they want to be kangaroos.
Yeah.
The next lesson I'd like to teach you that I learnt on my holiday is that you don't need a boat licence to hire a houseboat on the water.
Oh.
Have you seen these houseboats before?
Yeah, I've seen them in India. I've not seen them in Australia.
They're ridiculously massive, aren't they?
Yeah.
You look at them and you're like, it's just it's a caravan on the water.
Yeah.
Mm. It's unbelievable. Well, Simon's parents hired a houseboat on the Murray River, which is Western Australia. It was their gift for Christmas to the family.
Nice.
Really nice. Yeah. They've gotten into this thing where as they get older, they're like, right, we want to spend our money on getting the whole family together.
Mm.
So we'll pick the location, we'll book the accommodation, you all have to pay for your flights.
That's nice, though.
I don't know how I feel about it.
Really?
The next one's Thailand. Oh. I didn't really fancy it, but we're going. Anyway, we arrived first at this houseboat, and we had to get the lesson, because everyone arrives at different times. You're all going from different places.
Hmm.
So we turn up, and we get the lesson, and it turns out that then Simon is captain, and I am first hand.
Seriously?
You had to sign like this thing. Saying, we didn't have a boat license.
So you've got to drive it. There's no captain on there.
Yeah, there's no captain. You've got to drive it yourself and park it yourself.
No.
So I have no idea about the water. I'm actually quite afraid of the water. So I get this lesson and it's fine. Anyway, what you learn is after being on there for a week, you become a little bit laissez-faire about being the captain and the first hand. And we left it one day to Archer, who's 10,
mm-hmm.
To drive it down the middle of the river. There's nothing coming. It's quite a wide river.
Yeah.
We're like, just look after that, Archer. Everyone goes off into their bedrooms, they're doing things. Anyway, I look up in the bedroom. And there's trees coming through the window.
Oh, no.
And this is a really wide river. So we ran back in, just about to crash into the trees. Turns out he'd been distracted by Frozen. So never leave a houseboat in charge of a 10-year-old.
Yeah, I think that's sound advice.
Yeah.
Sound advice. A lesson well learned.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Okay, on to the next one. I learned that parenting is not a job that everyone can do.
Why not?
Would you agree with that? Or do you think everyone can?
I think you just adapt to it once it's there. I mean, I thought I'd be terrible, but you just got to get up there and get on with it. And I think you fall into it, yeah.
Can you adapt to any job once you're there, like heart surgeon or...?
No.
No.
But so parenting's different.
Why?
But it's experience-based, isn't it? I mean, you can't be a heart surgeon by experience.
You could. If you did it enough times.
There's no time. I'll tell you what, I won't be lying on any table that you're operating on, Steph. Put it that way.
Well, there were 7 under 10-year-olds on this boat for New Year's Eve, right? Which was hardcore.
Yeah.
I just want you to take this scenario and imagine it, if you will, okay?
Okay.
Your best friend comes to you and she says, so I'm thinking about moving in with this guy. He's really nice sometimes, but he's also outrageously unreasonable. He's unrealistic. He always wants things his own way and he's got anger issues. What would you say?
Run.
Run.
Yeah.
So that's children. That is every kind of child out there in the world. And you've got these people, these adults, who agree to live with them for 18 years in the hope they can change them. Does that not seem a bit strange?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I have experienced it. There were four different sets of parents. They were all approaching the job differently.
Yeah.
And it's not a job that I could do. And it's fine because I think, like, being a pilot, I could probably get through the exams if I worked really hard. However, I don't think I could be of sound mind every morning of my life to get up and possibly have the life of 150 people in my hands. And I think it's the same. If you're not up for the job, you don't have to take it.
No, you don't have to take it. No. Go and go and stack a few shelves somewhere in a supermarket. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean having kids.
Mm.
If you don't have the kids, you don't have to stack the shelves.
True. True.
Right, the next one.
Right.
You're going to love this. Okay.
Yeah.
So I also learned on this trip that people on aeroplanes will tell you all sorts of things if you get chatting to them. And we've talked about this on the show. I'm not a chatter on an aeroplane. I don't want to talk to strangers.
Yeah. Antisocial, really.
Oh, no interest in doing an interview.
I don't enjoy that.
Mm. No. Mm-mm. But we had to catch this short 1 hour internal flight. My husband gets on there, and on our row that we're getting into is a really pretty lady with blonde hair. Anyway, so he sits in the middle and he turns to her and he goes, I think I know you from somewhere. And I just got my book out and my heart sank because I thought, oh, this is great. This is.
Here
now I'm going to have to, I'll have to get involved in this conversation because otherwise it looks like my husband is quietly chatting up another woman while I just sit there and read a book. So anyway, we start talking and she's really nice and everything and he does know her and they've got friends in common.
Yeah.
So as we were getting off the plane, she leans over to me and she says, I'm splitting up with this guy and he's meeting me at the airport and I feel a bit sick. Like, I don't want him to do the big embrace. And I'm like, what? And she goes, he's meeting me at the baggage carousel.
Right.
So then we have to walk to the baggage carousel together and I meet Joe. Hi, Joe. Nice to meet you. I'm Steph. Oh, we just met on the plane. I have to meet Joe and get introduced to him on what is going to be one of the worst days he's ever going to have.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Knowing what he's got to come.
Yeah.
It was so awkward watching them do the... Yeah. He was like, you look really nice. She's like, thank you.
So just imagine, had your hubby not turned around and said, I think I know you from somewhere, you'd have avoided all that. So what's the big message is don't speak to people on airplanes.
Yeah, still don't speak to them. Don't speak to them. Yeah. And the very last one I'm going to leave you with is, no matter how expensive the hotel is, you can't always expect hot water and shampoo. So you know the Guardian newspaper from the UK?
I do.
Great travel section. I found in there a place called the Mud House, and it's in a part of not in Colombo, it's about 2.5 hours north of Colombo, and it's part of Sri Lanka that I'd never ever been to. So I thought, right, we're going to go there. It's 5 huts which have been built exactly the way they would have been without 21st century tech. They've built them with mud, thatched roofs, they're candle lit, there's no power when it gets to a certain time of night, there's no doors, you're pretty much outside borrowing a mosquito net over your bed.
Mm.
So they made it into the Guardian's top 100 romantic destinations.
Okay.
I'm like, that is so cool. And we only had 36 hours. So I booked an early check-in and a late check-out. It was amazing. However, they had no hot water.
Mm.
At all.
That is a problem. It's always a problem for me.
But what was the weather like? Is it one of those places that's always hot and humid and you don't need hot water?
It wasn't that humid.
No.
It was jogging pants weather in the morning, warmed up to shorts weather. Probably you want to put your joggers on at night. So I had to get washed in a lake one night, but they didn't have any shampoo either.
Yeah.
And there's no villages.
Right.
I know
what you mean about this hot water thing. I need it all the time.
Really?
And when I go to the Philippines, which is pretty often, they don't have a water heater in their house, so they'll boil a pan full of water.
Throw it over you.
carry it upstairs to the bathroom so that I can put it in a bucket, mix it with cold water, and then I can pour it over my head.
Wow.
So it's a big procedure when I'm having a, you know.
Well, you know, it wasn't that long ago that it was a big procedure all over the world, was it really?
Not really.
Think about it.
No, no.
I mean, in the UK, people still had outdoor bathrooms.
Mm.
Yeah, until I think...
I remember that. We did.
Yeah, in my grandma's house, I mean, even now they don't have water heaters. And even now, if you want to have a hot shower, they will heat up the water. Because it's one of those old British buildings, you know, the one with the stones and not really the cement ones. So they don't have any facilities to attach water heaters or anything.
What do you think, though? If you were paying $600, would you be mad about it? Or would you be like, it's natural... back to nature.
Yeah,
it can get greasy. I mean, to be honest, by the time it got to 6 p.m. I couldn't see myself in the mirror anymore, so it didn't really matter.
Dry shampoo though?
I didn't have any. Don't use it. They don't make it for redheads.
Really?
Yeah, it's very hairist, I have to say.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.